catch.
Thank you.
I'm always so thankful that none of us have fallen on our face when we get off the platform. It's always a possibility. Before anything else, I think we're going to pray. Father God, in Jesus Christ's name, we come to you. And Lord Jesus, you are the light of the world. And Father, I ask you to flood our hearts and our heads, our very beings, and even this room with your presence, God, the light of the world. And Father, I note that any time that your light is present, darkness cannot exist. So I ask that your light to be with us now and always. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, there's simple things that are just truth. One of the things that we do every Sunday, and hopefully that you do every day, is we praise God, we worship Him, we walk in adoration. And just a brief story on that, years ago, and I was talking to, I went to Joe the Barber this week. And I like my hair less curly. When I was a kid, it was like, so it's a little shorter and it's less curly. But I was talking to a gentleman from Angoon. And we were talking a little bit, and he goes, "You've been to Angoon before?" And I go, "Yeah, I used to hold services over there." And he goes, "Really? Where did you stay?" And I said, "Well, I would either stay with Frank and Beth Jack or with Cooney Starr, either at Cooney's house or the tribal or clan house with Frank and Beth." And he started laughing. He goes, "Boy, those are names that mean something." And we talked a little bit about Frank and Beth and Cooney, and words come to mind like Ha'ankawu Kanaktushiak. You all get that, right? That's "let's praise the Lord." It's Tlingit for "let's praise the Lord." So if it was a service over there, we would, when it was my turn to get up, I'd get up and go Ha'ankawu Kanaktushiak. And then people would start praising the Lord. But later, the first time that we were over there, some interesting things had happened in service. And after service, we were invited over to Johnny Jack's home, and Johnny was the head of that particular clan, an older gentleman. I'm always think it's funny when I say older, because I feel, you know, the 73 is weighing on me, so I'll get down low so I don't fall. But it was interesting. He was all like really arthritic and crunched up and seated, had trouble standing up, and he was asking if we would pray for him. And the three of us that were over there laid on hands and prayed for him. And here's, outwardly to us, nothing happened. And he goes, "This was good." And I'm thinking, I agree, it was good, but nothing's happening, you know. And he goes, and then he starts worshiping God. And as the words of praise proceeded from his lips, he started straightening up. And by the end, he's standing up, worshiping God. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the tearing down of strongholds and spiritual wickedness in high places. And sometimes that means just lift up Jesus. Just praise, just worship. And it's amazing that darkness flees. I can tell you years ago when the nursery was, behind those two windows was about as deep as the media room over there. And behind that was the nursery. And we couldn't figure it out. The kids were wild men and women constantly. If they weren't happy, they were screaming, you know? And we prayed about it and prayed about it. And we came to a solution that worked really good. Here's the solution. We put cassettes. Remember cassette tapes? Some of us remember 8-track tapes. Good stuff. Well, we put it in, we closed the little thing and pushed the button. And I don't remember who all it was, Maranatha Singers maybe, but you'd hear songs like, "Sing hallelujah to the Lord." We couldn't hear that in here, but within moments, it's like the room was dark and the light switch was flipped and Jesus charged into the nursery. And it came to order. Remember the word shalom? What that really means? It means peace. But the mechanism of the peace is bringing the authority of chaos under control. God's in charge. The enemy is not. That's the true peace. Anyway, that's side note, not the message. But it seemed important this morning. Well, I'm gonna finish a little bit from last week. And that means I'm gonna have to figure out where I am with all these little bookmarkers in my Bible. We were talking about prayer last week, and we were looking at the model prayer, or the Lord's Prayer. And just to reiterate, we remember to whom we're praying. This just isn't throwing something out to the open air. We're talking to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the bright morning star. We're talking to our Heavenly Father, who manifests physically as the Lord Jesus Christ. And after he left us with the Holy Spirit of the living God. Okay, so we're praying to our Father, which is in heaven. And we're praying that his name always be kept holy. And one of the ways we do that is we know to whom we're speaking. It's not speaking to a wall or a dead idol. It's speaking to our Creator. It's speaking to our Savior and our King. And we're always praying in a position of, we want what you want. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What you want, we want. And there's a change in direction. There's a change in your transmission. You want to go forward. You don't put it in the R, where the R button is. You don't put it in reverse. You want to go forward. You put it in drive. You know to whom you're speaking and to what you're speaking to them about. And sometimes we want things that are not always the best things. And it's probably better to pray for the best things. And for the simple one for me is when I was a little kid, we were at the Zesto stand. Zesto stand had the best soft serve ice cream. Mrs. Robbins, not that my family ever went there because I know the lady personally that owned it and ran it. And we went there one hot summer day, and I'm a little kid, and they had little kid ice cream cones. And I got my little kid ice cream cone, and my dad got his Papa Bear ice cream cone, and I could look and see the difference. But I could look and see the difference. And so I ate mine, and he ate his. And dad had often said things like, you know, I wish that she would let me just put my head under that machine. You know, dad liked his soft serve ice cream. But anyway, I was done. He was done. And I go, Daddy, could I have another one? And you all may not understand when it's 96 degrees and 96% humidity. It's a miserable hot. You're like steamy. And there's a limit to how much frozen stuff you want to put in your stomach. Well, as a child, I didn't understand that. I'm going, Daddy, could I please? And he goes, No, son, it wouldn't be good for you. But Daddy, could I? Son, it won't be good for you. Daddy, 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 Daddy. And he goes, Okay, you can have another. Yeah, what goes in must come out. And it came out the top part. And I learned a lesson from that. There's been several times over the years that God has reminded me of that when I'm asking him for something that would be better if I didn't have. So it's better to pray according to his will. And one of those is just, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What you want, I choose to want, even if I'm uncomfortable with it. You know, there's sometimes where if you've got an owie, and I'm sitting here and I'm sitting here with this great brace on, sometimes you'll have an owie. Sometimes this is going to shock you. Your body fails. Your body fails you. You know, we're not designed. This body is not designed to live forever. I will get one for eternity that's designed that way, but this too shall pass. And I could take this off and show you the cool scars that I've added on. You know, scars are cool. Well, the bullet wound's down here, and I got a knife wound over here. And you know, who cares? The important thing is that whether I get healed by a doctor or by the direct intervention of God, or whether I need to join in the sufferings of Christ, because sometimes suffering is part of what we deal and what we go through. If you're not prepared for that, I should tell you then it's no life for old people, because sometimes there's things that we suffer through. And I will tell you that when Dr. Hightower asked me, he said, so what does this feel like to you before it was fixed? And I said, well, it feels like you took an ice pick and just shoved it in there. And by the way, that hurts. And sometimes it's okay, and then I'll move, and it's like an ice pick getting shoved in there. Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is I was happy to get it fixed. The second thing that comes to my mind is shoving an ice pick into this part of my bone is nothing compared to a spike through my wrist. And you should think about the crucifixion. And sometimes we are called to join in the sufferings of Christ. That's not the message today. The message in this part is praying, God, what you want, I want. So, Lord, what do you want me to pray? What do you want me to pray? And then seek that. There's a gentleman I know who's been blessed with when he lays hands on people and prays for them to get healed, they get healed. That's a cool thing. Have I ever seen that? Yes. Does it happen every time? No. What's the difference? What God wants. Well, and if you went to him, and we'll call him Bo because that was his nickname. And if you went to Bo and you said, Bo, my shoulder really hurts. Will you pray for me? Before he would answer that question, he would go, God, you want me to pray that you heal this person? And if God said no, he would say, no, I don't have liberty to pray for you. Boy, that's hard to hear. Because by the same token, if God said, I'd like to heal him, lay on hands, then he would go lay on hands and he would pray. And every time the person was healed. And you go, well, how does that work? Because it's God's choice. Glenn Reese, who you've heard about, pastor in Texas. Glenn got called to the hospital and he said there's a guy in there that was screaming his name. So he goes into the hospital in the emergency room. This guy is almost burnt beyond recognition. In fact, at first Glenn couldn't recognize him. And he was screaming, get me my pastor. God says if my pastor prays for me, then he'll heal me. And Glenn goes, who is this? And yeah, it's one of his guys. And he goes, I'm here. And he said, pray for me. God said, and Glenn's going, God hadn't said that to me. You know, it wasn't about Glenn's faith at this point. It was about this person's faith in what God said. By the way, they took the bandages off a little bit later, and it was like clean as a baby's bottom. Well, after you've cleaned it up. But I'm just saying, and this is not about healing, but I'm just saying, when God chooses to move, are you on board? When God does something, are you on board? And probably there's a tendency on your part to go, yeah, well, what is it? Well, if God's doing something, choosing to be on board is agreeing with God and what God wants. And that's part of this prayer. And then as it goes on, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. Dropping down to verse 14, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Okay, it's conditional. It's a promise from God, but it's conditional. You know, I've often said to you that I really like it when an angel speaks, when they show up and they speak and they say something like, fear not. Don't be afraid. Peace be unto you. I just love it when he says, fear not. So when you get to the scripture that says, fear not, your sins will find you out. Okay, you don't get away with anything. God's always there. Fear not. Doing interrogations, that was my deal. God didn't want me to manipulate people, so I couldn't do the body language thing with them. I could. I have to choose not to because God doesn't want that. But what he gave me were those three scriptures. Fear not, your sins will find you out. That is utter truth. The wicked flee when no man pursues. Don't have to pursue, God pursues. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That means what's on your heart is going to come out your mouth. And from a law enforcement perspective, wow, sometimes you just know people did it, but they won't give it up. It's okay, just remind them. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Then they get to laugh at you and they get to go away because there's not probable cause sufficient to charge or convict them. But then it comes around, and every time it came around, and every time I got to sit there and look at them later, sometimes months later, and go, do you remember what I said? So what does that mean in your life about everything else that Jesus said? That's a good thing. Okay, not the totality of the message. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. And think of Job. When Satan, Lucifer, is sitting there and talking to God and going, what about your person, Job? He goes, yeah, he's not denied me in anything. He goes, yes, but you've got a hedge around him where I can't get to him. And God said, well, here's what you can do and here's what you can't do. Job walked through it and walked through it well. So the question is, when the pressure's on, when there's no pressure, is it easy to follow God? The simple answer is yes. When the pressure's on, to whom do you turn? When the pressure's on, who do you rest in? That's the hard question. But so, model prayer, model prayer. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day the food we need. Ah, you are our supply. Your provision is already there. Open my eyes that I can see. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Woohoo! And some scriptures add at the end, or some the scrolls add at the end, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The question is, every time that you see Jesus pray in scripture, does he follow that model? And the answer is yes and no. No, not every time exactly. Yes, in the totality of prayer. And you, as you walk through your day, it's incumbent upon you to walk in adoration and walk in praise. When it's easy and when it's hard. You know, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And for all things give thanks, but that's also his will. So, and you go, well, how can that possibly be? Well, that means when you get hurt, you go, Lord, I don't get this one. Thank you so much. Thank you because I know in my heart of hearts that all things work together for good to them that love God and them are the called according to his purposes. Romans 8:28. Every time, woohoo, God, thank you for what just happened. It is outstanding. I don't deserve this. It's wonderful. In all things, give thanks. I remember when Grandpa, Pa, I called him Pa, had a stroke, and the doctor was in shock because Pa made it to the hospital alive. He got up in the middle of the night. My grandma, Shinny, had terrible arthritis. You couldn't possibly sleep together because he'd bump into her, something might break, but it would hurt. And so Shinny can't get out of bed. She's wheelchair bound, bed bound, and she hears Wesley, you're going to appreciate it. His name was Wesley Andrew. So she said, I heard Wesley get up. And he went to the restroom, and he went to the bathroom, and then he sneezed. And then he walked back to bed, and I kept calling for him, and he wouldn't get up. So she picked up the phone, called us, and was telling this to my dad, middle of the night. So we all load up and run over to Pa and Shinny's house. And we get in there, and Pa's laying in bed. His head is back. He's breathing, but he's not home. He's not there. We call for the ambulance. The ambulance takes him to the hospital. We go to the hospital, and I'm a middle schooler, and I'm listening to, which we'd say junior high in those days, but we're listening to the doctor, and he goes, I don't understand this. He is breathing right now, but he's dead. There's no brain activity at all. He died the moment he sneezed. My Shinny, my grandma, whom I to this day love dearly and look so forward to embracing her in heaven. Shinny probably couldn't have taken it if he would have fallen to the floor dead and she couldn't go the 8 or 9 feet from her bed to get to the man that she loves, that she was equivalent of being a high schooler. grandpa was born in 1880s. I don't remember the year. God supplied a need. And looking back as a Christian, I so thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for making it the way it was so Shinny could manage through it. And that it speaks to my heart many, many, many years later on how perfect the will of God is in everything and how wonderful it is when we can embrace it. So when you pray, you're continually referring to the model prayer and dealing with the event of the moment. You know, responding on a police call and going and sending up that little prayer, God, would you watch over me? And whatever God says, you respond with, Father, I want to praise you and thank you for this. I don't know how many of you, well, I know you sail. I know you sail. I used to sail. And the feel of the wind and the way it affects the line, the main sheet, main sail, and you can feel that, and you feel how the jib or the genoa and the wind blowing in it. This is what it is walking with Christ. Is feeling the movement of the Holy Spirit and responding to what he's doing. And the way you respond in each case is the way that you pray. And sometimes somebody will go, would you pray for me because I don't feel good? And you go, sure. Well, be careful how you pray. Just be careful. I'm not saying there's what's sin, what's not sin in it. I'm just saying seek to honor God in all that you do. And the follow-up is today, and it's shorter, hopefully. And this tries to tie it together. And if you would turn to Colossians, the first chapter, Colossians, as opposed to Galatians. Colossians 1. And while you're turning there, I'm going to talk to you about the title of the message, The Jesus Nut. And this is an illustration that I'd love to tell you that it came from me. It did not. It came from helicopter mechanics in Vietnam. We used to have a guy here named Mike Potraz who was he used to describe helicopters since he was a helicopter mechanic. He said a helicopter is 5,000 moving parts flying in close formation. That means it's complex, and it probably means it shouldn't work, but it does. But there's the pilots in Vietnam. It was almost a standing joke, and my friend Jim Long shared this on Facebook, and I stole it. But there's nothing new under the sun, so even if it's my illustration, it's not new under the sun. Someone else has gone through it. Someone else will go through it. But in this particular case, they all talked about one thing. And that was the Jesus nut. And they believed in Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, where it says, He, Jesus, existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. On a Huey, there's a nut that holds the rotor on. And they called that the Jesus nut. Because if you take it off, the whole helicopter comes apart. It does not function. And it goes down. One of the first times that I flew on a helicopter, it was before I moved to Alaska in 78, and it was with Kansas City Police Department because they did a deal at a camp I was working at, and the pilot said, hey, you want to go for a ride? Yes, I want to go for a ride. So I crawl in this little Hughes 100, for those of you know, that means teeny tiny helicopter, two-seater, and we're both big guys, and we're sitting in there, and we go up, and I've flown fixed wing. I get Bernoulli's principle. I don't get it so much with the bumblebee, and I'm in the bumblebee, and we're going up, and we're flying along, and he's doing cute stuff, and I'm enjoying it, and he said, any questions? And I go, yeah. I said, is it true if the engine quit that we just drop like a rock? And he laughed at me, and I go, what? And he reaches over and flips the master switch off, which means the engine goes, it just quits. It's off. Turned it off. And I'm looking at him like he's a blithering idiot. He's going to kill us both. And the helicopter starts to go like this. And as we're going down, I go, well, what happens now? And he goes, do you know what auto rotation is? And I go, no. And he goes, trust me. Well, what choice do we have? And we're going down and we're picking up speed. And as we pick up speed, the rotor starts spinning faster and faster and faster. And then when he pulls back, he goes, and it's like a parachute. And right, we're just getting really close to the ground. He flips the switch on again. The engine starts and he goes, and he's got the rudders and the stick, our stick and the collective, and we're doing our thing. And we go back up. And I go, how's that work? And he looks at me and he lied to me. He looks at me and he goes, I don't know. And I go, no, it But I'm going to tell you, that works on every helicopter unless the Jesus nut's missing. Because by him, all things consist. And if the Jesus nut's gone, there's no auto rotation because there's no rotor. It's gone. And without a rotor, this is a rock.
He spell up.
As opposed to the rock of my salvation, which is illustrated by the nut that's on top. And if you look at it, it's big, but it's just a nut. It's just a nut. But without it, nothing works. I'm going to tell you, when you pray without the Jesus nut, nothing works. When you walk through life without the Jesus nut, nothing works. You know, we talk about a lot of things, and this one always makes people nervous when I say it, so I'll say it again. And I keep this one marked where we are in Genesis, and it's just a copy of John 5:39 and 40. You search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life, but scriptures point to me, yet you refuse to come to me to receive life. This is about Jesus. It's not about Genesis. It's not about John. It's not about Colossians. It's not about Revelation. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus at creation. It's about Jesus throughout the Old Testament. It's about Jesus being born of a baby. It's about Jesus living his life without sin. It's about Jesus being the Lamb of God. And it's about Jesus being the Lion of Judah. And all of us in this room will experience him in both of those modalities. Whether you think you believe or not, you will. The question is, where are you now? Do you walk through life with the Jesus nut intact? Is your life together? Does your life work? Well, my life's a mess. Okay. So who do we surrender to? Jesus. Well, my life's really good. Great. So what do? We surrender to Jesus. This isn't complex. We seek his face. I don't know if you all catch this or not, because I just really turn this off because it sounds weird. But when we're up here and there's music, the words are up on the screen. And we start singing those words. Sometimes I'm singing the song that's about Jesus, but instead of saying you, it says he. And I know that I'm singing to the Lord. So I just substitute and I put he in there because it's easier for me to sing to him when I use a pronoun that's first person singular. I've done this for years because it's easier for me to turn my heart to him. Because I will tell you, in a helicopter, once I knew about there that there really was a nut on top, when I get in a helicopter, including the big Coast Guard ones, I like to look up there and remind myself, I want to know which one is holding this together. Because when I'm on a Coast Guard helicopter, there's two guys up front that I've never seen before. It's hard to trust people I haven't seen before, yet I'm required to. I can remember sitting in the back of the helicopter, and I won't go into reasons why, but I used to fly with them a fair amount. And we're flying along, and it's windy, and we're blowing, and we're just doing this thing like we're just a little kite in the wind with not enough tail. And I'm looking over at at some of the crewmen on the helicopter, and I look at him and I go, "Are we all right?" He goes, "It's cool." And I'm saying, "It doesn't feel cool. It's cool." And then we land, And when we landed at Air Station Sitka, here's the cool part. We get down and people are running out and chocking the wheels. And I look at that same crewman and he looks at me and he goes, "Thank God." Oh, amen. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something else. And this is my friend. And George Cole, I hope you're listening online. George Cole was my supervisor when I worked statewide narcotics. And George Cole did not believe in Jesus Christ. But he had to supervise a guy that does believe in Jesus Christ. And we were talking one day, and he said, "You know, Greg, you Christians," and I love being one of those "you Christians." I adore that. He says, "You Christians," he said, "this is what you asked me to do is just not right." And I go, "George, what are you talking about?" He goes, "Well, let's just say that I was born in Bush, Alaska, and I have never, ever, ever seen a helicopter in my life. And you tell me about helicopters and expect me to believe it by faith." He goes, "Is that right?" And I go, "Yeah, that is right." And he goes, "Do you see how stupid that is?" And I go, "No." And he goes, "Well, what do you mean?" And I go, "George, just between you and me." And see, I've already broken that vow of trust right now. "George, just between you and me, because I know that you know that this happens. Do helicopters fly?" And he goes, "Well, yeah." And he stops and he goes, "Well, maybe it was a bad illustration on my part." Well, but it wasn't. It wasn't. In everything, turn to the Jesus nut, because he's the only thing holding it together. And if you're a mess, turn to the Jesus nut. And maybe one of these days somebody will call you a Jesus nut because you believe. And it's worth believing. He's worth believing in. This whole prayer thing, everything you do with prayer is contingent on one, believing who Jesus is, and two, doing what he says. You seek his face, ooh, glory to God. I don't care what you're walking through. I don't care. I mean, I care for you, but I don't care in the sense I don't have control over that. And if you're in the middle of something that's of your own making, well, shame on you. Get out of it. How do you get out of it? Jesus nut. Does that mean that he'll make it so you don't have to suffer? Like, no. Sometimes you've made decisions that have consequences. But the eternal consequence, the position of eternal life, that's where you sit right now. And it's every time that we come here, there's a multitude of questions. And one of them is, do you belong to Jesus? Do you belong to Jesus? Do you know about Jesus? Do you belong to Jesus? Have you surrendered your heart to the Lord? Have you done that? And, in this case, someone says, "Well, Greg, do you believe in Jesus?" "Yes, I do." "Well, have you ever asked Jesus into your heart?" And I go, "Well, I have." And if they said, "Yeah, when?" I go, "Well, April 1st, 1980, 1:15 in the morning, and end of the road, almost the end of the road, Sitka, Alaska, the little historical monument, and the police car, everything turned off, the police radio. Yeah, right there at that time is when I asked Jesus into my heart." It's easy to remember when you were 27. It's not so easy to remember like our kids when they're 6 and 4, barely 6 and 4. Or James Dobson, who was 4. He knows that he did, but he couldn't tell you 1:15 in the morning on April 1st, 1980. So I'm blessed by that. But is it so real in your life that you do know that you really do belong to Jesus? You don't have to know the day and time, but do you belong to him? Because if you don't, let today be the day of salvation. You don't have to leave this room without driving a spike down that says so. In Evie's case, and I'm not going to talk about the ladies that led you to the Lord in the evangelistic services in Marathon, Iowa. I'm going to talk about in college when the issue of lordship was resolved in Evie's life now and forever. When she drove down a stake in her heart, that's a place that she can always turn to at this moment in time. I gave everything to the Lord. Position of lordship. Everything that I've got, everything that I'm not. I'm yours, Lord. Remember what this means? Lifting hands, what are the words? Yod. Yod. All it means is whatever's in my hands, whatever's not in my hands, all that I've got, all that I'm not, I'm yours, Lord. That's all that means. So when you do this, woo, glory to God, you're being a living sacrifice. That means all that I am, all that I'm not, all that I've got, I'm yours, Lord. And if God wants to take something from your hand, it's okay, because it's his. If you put something in your hand, it's okay. If he leaves it as it is, it's okay. It's okay, because it's all good with him. When he moves things around, it's for his plan and creation. When he takes and cuddles your heart, it's precious. It's a blessing. But whatever it is in the middle of it, whether it feels good, whether it feels bad, whatever it feels, Jesus nut. By him all things consist. And the illustration is a little bit better in Scripture, I would tell you. Kate, you're supposed to grin on that one. I didn't look. Maybe you are. And starting in verse 15 of First Colossians 1, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things that we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. That just defines the Jesus nut. So if it comes up again and somebody says, well, you're just a nut for Jesus, you should respond, praise God, I am. And if it comes up and somebody says, my life's falling apart, and they go, talk to me about it. But where do you point them? Not to you, to the Jesus nut. And it's not because he's crazy, it's because he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so it's up to you, and it's up to you now, and it's up to you tomorrow. It's up to you yesterday to trust in the I am that I am. So today, and if the worship team had come on up, I love that. I love saying that. Woohoo. I never understand why the rest of you don't come up, because are you not here to worship? But so we'll see. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus into your heart, it's never been real to you, let today be the day of salvation. If you're here today, and since I know there's a couple of you that are, and you want to join this church, well, in Southern Baptist circles, there's ways that we do things that I don't necessarily see in Scripture, but that doesn't mean they're terrible things. If you want to join, this means you're committing to walk this path with us. And this is a path that trusts in the very presence of God. This is a path that trusts in the Jesus nut to hold all things together. But if you want to join us, there's some criteria. You have to be saved. That means born again, born from above, converted. You belong to Jesus. And there's a thing called believer's baptism. You know, I was dedicated, I'll use that word. I was sprinkled as a child in the Christian church. I always hate saying that, because this is a Christian church, filled with Christians. But I was sprinkled in a Disciples of Christ church. Had nothing to do with my salvation. Nothing. They would say that it did, but it had nothing to do with my salvation. 8 days on April 9th, 1980, I was baptized by Bob Benton, my pastor at the time, my eight-day pastor, in the Sheldon Jackson swimming pool in Sitka, Alaska, because we didn't have a baptistry. And honestly, sometimes people want to get dunked in the ocean. And I'm going to tell you, I've done that. I baptized a bunch of them one day in a logging camp. It's cold. You know, we have a nice heated baptistry. It's pretty sweet. And in my case, Sheldon Jackson's swimming pool was very good. And you're not supposed to remember, but you are. I will tell you, when you get baptized, the pastor is going to say, or whoever does it is going to say some words. And things like, in this church, we would say, and we baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we would take you all the way under the water, Lisa, all the way. She has long arms. And you'd say, well, why are you saying it both in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, and our Lord Jesus Christ? Because down the road, you might become a member of another church. And some churches are so silly to say it has to be only in the name of Jesus. And this one says, well, it has to be in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And so we just cover both bases. You're covered. But that's always a question that needs to happen before membership. And then the silly thing is we vote at a business meeting. But I'll tell you, we're good voters. We're good voters. So if you're here today and you want to join this church, when the music starts, we'd ask you to come forward also. And if you got extra steps to do, good to go. We like baptizing people. John the Baptist started a pretty good gig with that, I think. And the Lord's followed up, not that he did so much, but apostles and prophets.
Yeah, doing back there.
Teachers and other people who's in good standing in a church.
Trying to be careful and unload too.
Our sons. And Aaron's going to have the privilege of baptizing Matthew. It's going to be a privilege, and there may be others. We'll see. So let's stand, have a word of prayer, and then we'll begin to sing. Father God, in Jesus Christ's name, we come to you. And Lord, truly, what you want, we want. God, we trust in you and we rest in you. And God, I don't mean anything derogatory about it at all, but we look to you as the Jesus nut. You hold everything together. You hold my life together. I breathe because you make it possible each day, each moment. My molecular structure holds together because of you. In Jesus' name, amen. One last thing. I so remember driving past the old city of Jericho in Israel. And Avi Ben-Hur, our tour guide, Avi goes, you all sing that song about, and the walls came tumbling down. And he goes, it's not true. They didn't tumble down. He said, if you look at it, it looks like gravel. And you can see the outline of the old city, like in gravel. He says, it stopped existing as a wall. And I looked at him and said, that's absolutely true, because by him, the Lord Jesus Christ, all things consist. And he goes, well, I wasn't going there. But it did. It just stopped holding together. And by him, you hold together. Let's sing.